I've been staring at these higher education datasets for weeks, and there's something happening in our classrooms that nobody's really talking about. It's not just about Zoom lectures or AI detectors. We're seeing this fundamental rewiring of how teaching and learning actually work. The data shows institutions transforming right under our feet.
From my classroom experience, I can feel that shift. It's like we're all trying to navigate this rapid change without a map. Students come in with completely different expectations now. They're digital natives, but they're also craving that human connection we used to take for granted.
As someone sitting in these classrooms right now, what I'm noticing is this strange tension. On one hand, we have professors using incredible new tools that make learning more interactive. But on the other, there's this underlying anxiety about whether we're actually learning the foundational skills we need.
That tension you're describing is exactly what the data reveals. I was just reading this fascinating study called Watermark in the Classroom that looks at how educators are trying to detect AI usage while still encouraging technological literacy. It's creating this weird dynamic where innovation and tradition are constantly wrestling with each other.
The classroom management aspect of this is what keeps me up at night. When I was teaching, we worried about students passing notes. Now we're trying to figure out if they're using AI to write their essays while still wanting them to understand how to use these tools responsibly. It's like we're building the plane while flying it.
What's interesting is that from our perspective as students, we can feel when professors are just slapping technology onto old methods versus when they're genuinely rethinking their approach. There's this study about detecting confusion during collaborative learning that actually speaks to this. When instructors use multiple cues to understand our learning process, it changes everything.
That's the automatically detecting confusion and conflict research, right? What struck me about that study was how it used linguistic patterns, voice tone, and even facial expressions to understand when group learning was breaking down. But here's the surprising part. The data suggests that the most effective instructors aren't necessarily using the fanciest tech, but they're remarkably good at reading these human signals.
That resonates so much with my teaching experience. The best semesters I ever had were when I could sense the room. When I knew which students were genuinely confused versus just disengaged. But scaling that intuition across large lecture halls or online courses, that's where these new approaches could really help if we implement them thoughtfully.
Can I jump in with something we're dealing with right now in my computer science program? We have this professor who's using this tool called Math Canvas for multimodal reasoning, and it's completely changing how we approach complex problems. Instead of just writing code, we're visualizing the problem-solving process step by step.
The Math Canvas research. That's exactly the kind of innovation the data points toward. What's remarkable is that it's not just about making math easier. It's about making the thinking process visible. The study shows students developing much deeper conceptual understanding because they can see their own reasoning unfold.
But here's where I get concerned about the long-term pedagogical impact. Are we trading depth for flashy tools? I've seen so many educational technologies come and go that promised revolution, but ultimately just added complexity without improving learning outcomes.
I think that's the critical gap you mentioned earlier, Alex. From where I sit, the difference comes down to alignment with actual learning goals. There's this other study about question generation for virtual labs that really highlights this. When the AI-generated questions actually match what we're supposed to be learning, it feels transformative. When they're just generic questions slapped onto content, it feels like busy work.
That instructional goal-aligned question generation paper reveals something crucial about evidence-based adoption. The institutions that are succeeding with these tools aren't just buying the shiniest new platform. They're carefully matching technology to specific learning objectives and continuously checking whether it's working.
The resource constraints make this so challenging, though. At the community college where I taught, we were constantly being sold miracle solutions that required infrastructure we simply didn't have. Meanwhile, the wealthy universities could experiment and iterate. This creates such disparity in educational quality.
That's something we talk about a lot in student government, the haves and have-nots when it comes to educational technology. But what's interesting is that some of the most innovative approaches I've seen actually came from professors working with limited resources. They had to be more creative about how they use the tools available.
The data actually supports that observation. Some of the most effective transformations are happening at institutions that can't just throw money at problems. They're being forced to think more carefully about pedagogical integrity and student impact rather than just adopting technology for technology's sake.
Speaking of pedagogical integrity, I'm curious about the ethical dimensions of all this. There's that nursing and midwifery study about AI translation software that raises such important questions about when technology helps versus when it creates dependency.
We actually read that in my ethics course. The nursing students were really divided about whether using AI for assignments was cheating or just using available tools. What struck me was how their perspective depended on whether they saw it as a deficit, like covering up weak language skills, or as translanguaging, which is about leveraging all available resources for communication.
That gets to the heart of the innovation versus tradition tension. The data shows that institutions grappling most successfully with these questions are the ones having explicit conversations about values and learning goals, rather than just creating blanket policies.
From my teaching experience, that makes perfect sense. When we had department-wide conversations about what we actually valued in student work, we could make much smarter decisions about technology. If critical thinking and original analysis were the goals, then certain uses of AI were clearly problematic. But if clear communication was the primary goal, then translation tools might be entirely appropriate.
I wish more faculty had those conversations transparently with students. Sometimes it feels like we're trying to guess what each professor wants, and the rules change from classroom to classroom. There's this anxiety about crossing invisible lines.
That inconsistency is actually a major finding across the datasets. Institutions that provide clear pedagogical rationale for their technology policies see much higher student satisfaction and better learning outcomes. It's not about having rigid rules, but about having transparent educational reasoning.
What about the faculty development piece? In my experience, many instructors want to innovate, but don't have the support or time to learn new approaches effectively. They're already stretched thin with research, service, and teaching loads.
We see that from the student side, too. Some professors clearly feel uncomfortable with the technology they're being asked to use, and that discomfort translates to awkward classroom experiences. There's one professor who's amazing with the interactive whiteboard, and another who struggles to basic video conferencing. And the learning experience is completely different.
The data reveals that the most successful institutional transformations invest significantly in ongoing, practical faculty development rather than one-off training sessions. They create communities of practice where instructors can learn from each other's successes and failures.
That collaborative approach is so important. When I was teaching, the most valuable professional development came from watching my colleagues teach and having real conversations about what worked and what didn't. The fancy technology was almost secondary to that human collaboration.
What I'm hearing from both of you aligns with what we students value most, authenticity. When professors are genuinely engaged with the tools they're using, when they've thought through the pedagogical reasons, it shows. And when they're just going through motions, we can tell immediately.
That authenticity piece is crucial. The data shows that student engagement correlates much more strongly with instructor authenticity than with technological sophistication. Which brings us back to that central discovery about rapid change. The institutions navigating this best are the ones keeping the human element at the center.
It's reassuring to hear that the human element still matters most. Sometimes with all this talk of AI and analytics, it feels like we're reducing teaching to algorithms and data points.
As a computer science student, I can tell you that the most advanced AI still can't replicate what a great teacher does. That ability to sense when a student is on the verge of understanding, to adjust explanations in real time, to share genuine excitement about the material. The technology should enhance that, not replace it.
That's exactly what the path forward looks like, according to the evidence. The most promising approaches use technology to augment human teaching rather than automate it. Like that confusion detection study, it's not about replacing the teacher's perception, but giving them additional tools to understand what's happening in their classroom.
What about assessment? That's always been the trickiest part. How do we evaluate student learning in ways that are both rigorous and adaptable to these new approaches?
From our perspective, the worst assessments are the ones that feel disconnected from what we actually learned. There's this one professor who uses the goal-aligned question generation from that virtual lab study, and her exams feel so fair because they directly test the concepts we practiced. Other professors use generic test banks that don't match what they taught.
The assessment piece is where the rubber meets the road. The data shows that when assessment aligns with both learning objectives and teaching methods, students perform better and report higher satisfaction. But achieving that alignment requires constant refinement and attention to detail.
That constant refinement is exhausting for faculty, though. I remember spending entire weekends redesigning assessments only to discover that some new technological issue created different problems. The workload question is real and can't be ignored.
I think students understand that it's a learning process for everyone. What frustrates us is when professors don't acknowledge that they're still figuring things out. We'd rather have transparent experimentation than pretend perfection.
That student voice is so important, and it's often missing from these conversations. The institutions that regularly include student perspectives in their technology and pedagogy decisions are seeing much smoother implementations.
It's about creating a learning community where everyone, students, faculty, staff, are growing together. That's ultimately what makes educational transformation sustainable rather than just another trend.
What gives me hope is seeing how these tools can actually create more equitable learning environments when implemented thoughtfully. Like the Math Canvas approach, students who struggle with traditional mathematical notation can still demonstrate deep understanding through visual reasoning.
That equity dimension is crucial. The data reveals that well-designed educational technology can actually reduce achievement gaps by providing multiple pathways to understanding. But poorly implemented technology can widen those same gaps dramatically.
Which brings us back to the importance of evidence-based adoption. We can't just assume technology will help. We need to carefully study its impact and be willing to abandon approaches that aren't working.
As students, we're living that reality every day. The difference between technology that enhances learning versus technology that just adds complexity is the difference between feeling empowered and feeling overwhelmed.
What's emerging from all this data is that successful institutional transformation isn't really about the technology at all. It's about the educational thinking behind the technology. The tools are just means to pedagogical ends.
That's the wisdom we need to hold on to. The classroom of the future still needs what the classroom of the past needed: thoughtful educators who know their students and care deeply about learning.
And students who are engaged partners in that learning process. The best semesters I've had are when professors treat us as collaborators in figuring out what works.
Which takes us full circle to that initial discovery about rapid change. The institutions thriving amid all this transformation are the ones maintaining their educational values while being open to new methods. They're traditional and innovative simultaneously.
It's not either or, it's both and. We can honor the wisdom of proven teaching methods while embracing tools that enhance learning. The key is keeping our eyes on what matters most: student growth and understanding.
As someone who will soon be entering the workforce, what gives me confidence is knowing that the education I'm receiving is preparing me for a world that requires both technological fluency and human intelligence. the most valuable skills turn out to be the ones that combine both.
That combination is exactly what the data points toward as the path forward. Not technology for its own sake, but technology in service of deeper, more meaningful learning. The institutions that get this right are creating educational experiences that prepare students not just for today's world, but for the world they'll inhabit tomorrow.
And doing it in ways that acknowledge both the opportunities and the challenges. There are no easy answers, but there are thoughtful approaches that respect both innovation and tradition.
What I'm taking away from this conversation is that we're all part of this transformation. Students, teachers, institutions. The future of education isn't something that happens to us. It's something we create together through our daily choices in classrooms and beyond.
That collaborative creation is ultimately what the data reveals as most promising. Despite all the technological change, education remains fundamentally human, and that might be the most important tradition we carry forward.